Okay, I want to start out this morning a wee bit different. I'm going to put everybody on the spot. Everybody. Nobody gets off. Okay. All right. So one way that either you have or the body has either demonstrated love to you this week or somehow in the body you have had to do something that led to peace and harmony. Or, what did we talk about last week? You remember? Bearing with one another, or forgiving one another. So, one situation where either you had to do one of those things, or somebody did one of those things for you. The things that we have talked about so far, love one another, peace and harmony, one another, bearing one another, forgiving one another. Either someone did that for you, or you did that for somebody else. One of those things. Being the body, essentially what I'm trying to say is, okay, the ways we've talked about being the body, how did that impact your life this week? Love one another. Okay? Yes. That is an example. You know, it's important that we do more than just talk about what it means to be the body. It's important that we do it, because what did Jesus say? Blessed are you if you do these things. Okay? So the things that he was teaching, he said, blessed are you when you do these things, not when you talk about these things, not when you study these things, not when you examine these things. So we want to make sure that we embrace and remember and are grateful when we get to be the body for one another. And we need to be looking for opportunities more and more to be the body for one another and think outside the box. Okay. We have this 20th, okay, most of you all were born in the 20th century like me. So we have this 20th century mindset that has shaped us that says, this is how you do it. And a lot of times it is nice and neat and it's categorized and it's boxed. And we have separated these aspects of our life and never do they ever meet in our computer. But the reality is there is no separation. There is no true categorization the way that we have done this in life. So we need to be grateful, thankful, expectant, squeezing the opportunities, remembering the opportunities, because like you have confessed this morning, we forget all too fast. We have short memories. We have spiritual ADD. Yes. Yeah. Okay, awareness of a thing called the Bible Project. Is it like the BibleProject.com, BibleProject.org? Okay. Okay, so check it out. All right, thanks. So today we're going to talk about love in action. We started out talking about love one another, then we talked about being at peace and in harmony with one another, and we talked about that, you know, we have to work towards that. It's something we really have to do intentionally. Then we talked about the price of that. What is the cost of being at peace and harmony with one another? And we talked about bearing one another's burdens. We talked about having to put up with one another and then having to forgive one another as being that price for peace and harmony. Okay? We don't have that without that. Okay. Today, we're going to talk about the tangible nature of loving. Okay. It's one thing to say that we love, and another to demonstrate that we love. And a lot of times the way that we see that whenever we give it and when we receive it is through serving someone. Serving someone who maybe doesn't expect it, someone who doesn't understand it, but serving people that we're trusting God's going to help them receive it. and receive what we give them in terms of service and as an expression of love. So we're going to look at some passages today that relate to this. The first one we're going to look at is one of the marquee passages on serving. It is Jesus' teaching on serving from John chapter 13. That night before the supper, when Jesus was arrested and began his ordeal at the end of his earthly life. John 13, 3 through 5. The first part of this passage says that Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. I have always found that portion of this to be just, he knew exactly what was going on. And because he understood exactly what was going on, he was able to have the attitude and able to deal with all the stuff that you and I would never want to deal with. So he had a pretty good idea what was going on. So he got up from the meal and he took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Now that was like a slap in the face to these men. And there was a little interaction here after this that I'm going to kind of jump over between Peter and Jesus. You know, Peter said, no, 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 don't do this, because he knew that Jesus was doing something that was absolutely contrary to what someone who was a rabbi or a teacher would be doing. And then Jesus said, you know, you got to let me do this. If you don't let me do this, you can't have anything to do with me, because this is who I am. Peter said, okay, all right, I get it. Let's give me a shower. Because I hear what you're saying. And Jesus said, that's not necessary. Just need to wash feet. Then we get to the next part of this. John, go to the next slide, please. So in verses 12 through 17 on this, it says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Now it's time for the debrief. Okay, the lesson. And he said, do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. He said, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. There's the one another. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Okay. Jesus was giving this picture to his disciples. He debriefed with them about what that picture was all about. So what do we learn from this object lesson by Jesus? Okay. Have to be humble. Okay. Where do you see that in the object lesson? Where do you see that you got to be humble? Now, see, this whole feet thing, we kind of lose the impact of this to some degree. Well, to a large degree, okay? Because we all wear shoes. Okay? So what was so dramatic about this?
Your feet got really dirty.
Yeah, these are people wearing sandals, so their feet are exposed to the elements, all that there are. Okay. Yes, Tim. Taboos. Yeah. Okay. So I spent a few minutes watching Mike Rowe yesterday. Hadn't watched Mike Rowe in a while. Dirty jobs. Okay. You know, Mike Rowe spraying, he was on this huge series of hills. I mean, more like mountains without trees, okay? Where all foliation had been removed, and it was just dirt. And so they were spraying that foamy stuff on this, and it was like just forever and ever and ever. I mean, it was like there was more than, I mean, But all the things that it took to do that job, he had to climb inside the belly of this tank and clean it out before they refilled it with the same stuff. I'm not sure why, but that's what he had to do. It was gross. And then he got in some other big pipey thing and he had to scrape off the oxidation from the inside of the pipe. And I mean, it was just, you know, okay. That's the way that the disciples reacted to their rabbi who was doing something that only the most menial folks were supposed to do. The people who were basically outcast in society were the ones who were supposed to be doing this task. And Jesus decided he would do it. Now we do not need to miss the object lesson here. If that's the case, what does this act tell us? What do we learn from the object lesson? Yes. What about the degree to which we serve? Uncomfortable, perhaps. Okay. Is it convenient? Okay. Is it antiseptic? Is it without things that might be in some way distasteful to us? That's not to say that every act of service has to be that way, but it is, are you willing to follow the example? Because that's what he calls us to do. So how do we know that this was an urgent and important lesson? This is not just, oh, here's one of the 99. Let's just put it on the list somewhere where you want to. How do we know it was urgent and important? Okay. That's a good place to start. Okay. When is he doing this? The last opportunity he had to be with his disciples, to communicate to them who God had created them to be and who they were supposed to be. He took the time to blow their mind the last opportunity to break all those, I'll just use them. I use the word taboos to break all their neatly held little thoughts about what should or shouldn't be. Okay. All those other people who were called rabbi, Jesus said, they would tell you what to do, and they wouldn't even lift a finger to help you. And here's Jesus, the last day of his free life, grabbing a towel, kneeling down, and doing what nobody wanted to do in that room. A dirty job. This was urgent, it was important, and he gave it to them as a lesson with an exclamation point. It was one of the last things he did with his disciples. It was urgent. It was important. What happens if we don't serve one another? Okay. Let's go down that path then. So what? We violate the wishes of God. So what? Okay. We're not an example for anybody. We don't reflect the glory of God to anybody outside the fellowship. What else? We're not serving. Okay. All right. What we say, what we profess, right? Okay. We live in an entitlement culture that has infected the church. I don't serve that way. Why? Find another buffet. Yeah, yeah, it's exactly right. Find another buffet. Yes, that's correct. That's correct. Yeah. There are those. Yes, there are. And the other part of this is there are also congregations that want to use people. Yeah. We want, you know, it's not, that's not right either. Okay. Now we're talking about the service, the serving one another part, the want to, the part where we serve one another willingly, following the example of Jesus, because Jesus loved us. He showed his love for us through doing the dirty work for us. So we should love one another by being willing to do the dirty work for each other. When it's not convenient. When we don't want to do it. Does this all make sense? I got to believe that Jesus would rather do anything if he had a choice than do those things that he did. But it was essential and he did it. He wanted to do it, but then again, he probably wished he didn't have to do it. Think about it. All right, John, let's go to the next passage. So in Galatians, Paul writes, to the church in Galatia, he says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." Why does Paul link freedom, our freedom, to the choice to serve one another? What do you think? Okay. Now, why does this sort of, why do we struggle to grasp this? Whereas in first century Palestine, why would they not struggle to grasp this? You seen any servants or any slaves on the street? Okay. I'm just saying our culture does not any longer accept that one person would be enslaved. Our culture. Now, there are cultures that are present in the world now that do, but ours does not embrace that one person would be able to enslave another one in the way that the people in the first century in Palestine would get it. You see what I'm saying? So whenever Jesus is, and here, whenever Paul is talking about free, being free and serving, when they talk about the word serving, all of a sudden for them, it's very real. Servants, slaves, serve. But he's saying, you're not a slave. You are free. He turned the idea up on top of itself. He said, you're free. Serve one another humbly. Weird. We don't get the full impact of that because we don't have people running around in culture as slaves or servants. We don't get it. But it was quite a remarkable thing for Paul to say. Your freedom should lead you to humbly serve one another. We're not bound to do it. We are freed to do it. It's a choice. What do you think? Why do you think serving each other is placed then kind of in opposition to this idea of indulging our flesh? Nor do you have time to serve anybody else. Okay? Okay. So, we are to choose to follow Christ's example. Choosing that example is to freely choose to serve each other the way Jesus served us. John, next slide, please. So in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, 11, Peter writes, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others." So here, Peter pulls in the idea of spiritual gifts. "As faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as the one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever." So why does God give us spiritual gifts? Okay. serve others, build up church, which is a passage in Ephesians, which we could spend a lot of time on if we wanted to. May get there in a minute. We'll see. I can't remember. Is there any spiritual gift that is not meant to be used to serve others? That ought to tell us something. You know, it's one thing to say, okay, I'm wired. God has given me a wiring to teach. I do it at Savannah State. I do it with you. I do think it is a spiritual gift, but I'm not using my spiritual gift to make money. It just so happens that that is a vocation that I do that seems to be complemented by the gift. Does that make sense? I'm not trying to advance myself because I'm pouring in. I'm giving away. I'm not trying to lift myself up, pad myself, you know, advance myself, any of that. Yeah. Does that illustration work for you? No gift is meant to be something that any of us use for our own personal gain. It is meant to be used to serve others, whether it is a gift that has to do with speaking or whether it is Don or Bobby helping people with cars. Or, you know, some of you in any other way, okay? Whether it's helping take care of kids or give information or help somebody do a chore or whatever it might be. Why is it critical that our service reflects God's glory and God's power? Our service, whenever we serve, why is it important, critical, whatever word you want to use, that it reflect God's glory and God's power? Augustine said, "Preach the word at all times. If necessary, use words." Now, that means we lead with our service. We lead with our actions. We lead with our love. And that is the entry point then by which we get to have the opportunity to fill in the Paul Harvey rest of the story. Here Peter's saying, whether you're speaking or whether you're doing actions, whether you're fixing a car or whether you're teaching somebody and discipling them in some way, that all of this needs to be empowered by God. And it reflects God's glory when we do it in the strength that he offers us. Next passage there, John. This is Philippians chapter 2. I want to read it. And then I want you to tell me what it has to do with serving one another. Paul wrote to the Philippians, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, and if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." And then he skips and he goes down to this example. "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage." The literal image was to be held on to be grasped. "Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." So how do we know that this is about serving one another? Where do you see that in this passage? Go to the first part of the passage, if you would, John. Where do you see here that this is about serving one another? Okay. And not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. Okay? That's serving. That's being more concerned about helping other people. This is coaching 101. This is, why does a coach want to do what he does? It's because he wants to help those that he coaches be successful so that they can be all that they can be. And in our context, it's so that they can be all that God wants them to be. Okay, John, the other part of the passage. So here, where you see the example of Jesus, where do you see here that it has to do with serving others? Okay. It says Jesus took the nature of being. We just don't get it. Jesus was with, he was God, and he willingly became human. That was quite a step down. Kind of like kneeling and washing somebody's feet. He had already done it just by coming. He became a servant, and he was just giving us the lesson at that Last Supper of what he had already done. And he took it to the extreme. He did the dirty work. He died on the cross. Is this all tying up like with a bow for you? So to be the body is to serve one another. It's love in action, just like Jesus put love in action. He chose to come. He chose to live. He chose to die. And he gave us the image, the object lesson. It's been consistent. Okay? Serving. All right. Anybody, is there anything that you would want to share about service or serving others? Have other people serving you impacted your life? Are you grateful for those who have served you? Have you allowed that to motivate you to serve others? That's the lesson. Carol, would you close?